Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
For me, we're going a bit too fast, and the worst thing that can happen is that 3 to 4 weeks from now, we see that the numbers are really going up, and then we have to decide whether or not we're going to reverse course and ask people to stay home even more.
Do I believe them? Yeah.
You don't have
I don't believe them for China.
Yeah.
And I don't believe them from other countries where I see, you know, a very tiny number of people died, but you're watching the news and you see what's going on.
All right, so you heard the president and his thoughts about latest little piece of coronavirus. And then before that, the mayor of Houston, Turner, talking about reopening because of the pressure to reopen, but also what happens if you reopen and you make it worse. And that is what cities, towns, and rural areas are dealing with, mayors, governors, and then ultimately the president day after day, and deciding, by the way, to keep the coronavirus task force together. So the gang is all still there. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show before, well, welcome aboard. I hope you're doing well wherever you are up in this country or outside of this country. Deaths in the United States, 74,577. Recovered, 171,000. Confirmed cases overall, 1.26 million worldwide. For those of you listening, and for everyone in this world, which is global, together, confirmed cases 3.75 million, deaths 264,000, recovered 1.24 million. There's lots of conversations that are happening. I say that this show is about what's going on in your backyard and my backyard, and I think one of the conversations that is happening is, of course, it's about reopening. It's about the economics. It's about getting things going, moving the economy, helping your neighbor. What do we do? What kind of help are we going to get from our local government? What are we getting from the federal government? That's top on the list. Then I would also say for people with kids, it's schooling, and when are they going back, if at all, and what is it going to look like when they do go back in the fall? And if they're in college, will it all be online or no? Will it be in classrooms? So it seems like, and I said this many, many times on the show, we are just living under a question mark. And you get used to it because I think some of the answers are just happening as it unfolds. And if you make decisions too far in advance, they're going to get pushed out anyway. So it's not like where you used to know, oh, well, here's the calendar for the year. These are the parent-teacher nights. Here's when the soccer games are. Here's when the plays are. Here's what we're doing with our science fair and when a project is due. Here's all the tests that will unfold. And I believe the schools across the country, elementary, middle schools, high schools, and higher education, they're all working to try to figure it out. How do we figure it out? How do we reimagine this and make it make sense for the students at whatever level it is? So that's also, of course, part of the conversation. And here's something else that's not necessarily talked about a lot, but I think it is talked about everywhere in the country and outside of the country. Do you think you had COVID-19? Do you think you had COVID-19 before it was called that and before we knew anything about it? I've talked about this on the air that I was in San Diego and I got so ill, but just for a quick, short flash of time. And I didn't have all the symptoms of what some people have with it, but had a fever, had chills, had some of the other things, the dry mouth completely, had some of the things related to what some of the symptoms are. And I've had other people I know, other friends, who, long before this came along, were out of work for a week or so and believed that they had it. Do we know? No, of course we don't know. We know when the first cases, we believe, happened. But could you have been in the batch of the earlier, not realizing that you had it at all, where you had the symptoms of not being able to breathe, of being exhausted, of the night sweats where you sweat right through to the mattress, and people are thinking, wow, maybe I am carrying the antibodies, maybe I've already been through this. And of course, it's all about the testing, and then you would know if you had COVID-19. And wouldn't that be a relief to know? And some say, well, that's good, you can move about freely. Others say, well, you could get it again. And it's just, again, going back to what we know, what we know, and then what we don't know. And they're equal, which is freaky, but there is no cure right now. That's why the frantic, obviously, search for a vaccine. So what are people saying about the lockdowns? You have the WHO that is warning against rushed ends to lockdowns, saying, like the mayor of Houston, it's too soon, they don't want to risk it, they don't want to be in that situation. You have the woman who had a hair salon in Dallas, who said, this is ridiculous, everybody's starving to death, we have to open the salon. She went against Governor Abbott's orders a week ago and 2 weeks ago, and was put in jail for 7 days, is in the middle of that, and became a hero to some people. There was a crowdfunding campaign that raised $350,000 for her legal fees. Her name's Shelley Luther. So she was fined by the judge. She refused to admit to the judge that her motivation in keeping her salon open was selfish. And she was told, you'll have to go to jail. She said, I have respect for the court and the laws. I've never been in this position before. It's not some place that I want to be. But I have to disagree. When you say that I'm selfish because I'm feeding my kids, it's not selfish. I have hairstylists that are going hungry because they'd rather feed their kids. So, judge, if you think the law is more important than kids getting fed, then please go ahead with your decision, but I'm not going to shut the salon. And that was it. Then she was in jail. So, you know, what then was said by the Texas Attorney General is that the trial judge didn't need to lock her up, and that the order was shameful abuse of judicial discretion, which seemed like a political stunt. The governor said compliance with executive orders during the pandemic is important to ensure public safety, but did say also there surely should have been some less restrictive means to achieving that goal than jailing a Texas mother. So that story got a lot of attention, not just in Texas, but across the country, as she made the point that so many others are making. I have to do this, sir. I'm going to do this, you know, period. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, that lockdown has been extended for 30 days because the governor there, Phil Murphy, says that amid this pandemic, this is the only way we can do this. So his orders extend through June 6th at least. But he did say there is a leveling in the infection rate in the Garden State. We Can Count coming up next.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packers packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
There's bad news, and then there's worse than bad news. You want that first? Yep, I'm going to start there. In this version of We Can Count, the economy, the pains, they say it's the worst since the 1930s. That's where we are. And we see there's another couple of rounds of unemployment data to back that up that are coming up, by the way, on Thursday and Friday. And what will the figures show? And this cruel public health crisis that's come along at a tough time for everybody in what's been 100 years. So how many people have died? Over 73,000. The economic slump and what it means for so many families, like I said, the numbers are ugly because you have more than 30 million people who are unemployed. That number is expected to rise to 33%. An economist polled by Refinitiv are expecting the unemployment rate at 16%. So it could be possible that 10 years, think of this, 10 years of jobs gains wiped out in just a couple of months. I talked to an economist who said, yep, it's deep and short, and that's the good news. The good news is that the fact that it's going to be short, believed to be short because of what we're seeing. And it's the industries who've had to shut down and lay off and furlough. And reopening is key. What happens with reopening? And is there another surge of people who ultimately get sick? I think there like I said, is going to be a surge of more people who file for unemployment. You can absolutely count on that. Sadly. Cruise ships, you wonder of that industry and how they're going to bounce back. And when you look at cruise ships, you look at passengers who, some of them couldn't get home and they had to be moved from port to port. And how often did we see that? On May 5th, as of May 5th, there were 57,000 crew members still aboard 74 cruise ships around U.S. ports, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean. These are statistics from the Coast Guard, from the U.S. Coast Guard. Hundreds were stuck on other vessels elsewhere in the oceans around the world. Oof. That'd be a tough place to be, wouldn't it? Very, very tough. In American waters, cruise ships have been really tied up in red tape that are there from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC's policy, or their official line, is that crew members can only be permitted to disembark for transfer between ships, provided they'll be transported by specifically chartered aircraft or personal cars or vehicles of whatever sort. And you forget about it, like I said, that there are still people in those situations. That would be, I'll say it again, it's the love boat until it's not the love boat, right? Then it's not good. It's not good at all after that, because you have people that have to be at their wit's end. All right, so let's give you something happy. Did you ever eat a dum-dum? You know what a dum-dum is? It's those lollipops that are little. A lot of times they get given out at Halloween, but they're eaten, you know, all over the place. It's not a Halloween candy per se, but I just know that you get a lot of them. You'll see them come out a lot at Halloween. I didn't realize this, but that company started in 1924. So they had this program. They had a program to exchange wrappers for toys and prizes. Who knew? It started in 1953, and sadly, it comes to an end on May 31st. So if you want to get in on this, you got to do it in the next couple of weeks. And what happened was they started this to promote the lollipops, and people would mail them in, and then they would find out whether or not they won, you know, they won a rubber baseball, a metal wastebasket, because that's one of the things they sold and part of their promotions. But how interesting is that? I had no idea. Who knows how many of those wrappers I tossed away. And I guess that they're doing different promotions, so they've got limited, like, Hawaiian punch flavored dum-dums, and people get excited about that, and the company is apparently, from what I read in a story that I found, very, very healthy. So people like lollipops. What does that tell you? And the dum-dums are small and easy, I think, in between whatever it is you're doing, to grab for one of those. And that's my theory. I have no idea if I'm correct, but easy to put in a pocket, easy to eat. And when you have just a short amount of time, making them a little bit different than some of the bigger lollipops that you see out there. So there are easy ways to there are easy ways to eat a dum-dum, I guess is the way to say that. All right, let's move to something else that has to do with numbers. And like I said, you look around and numbers are everywhere, especially now when we see the numbers because of the amount of closings, people that are trying to stay open, people that are reopening, and the list is, let's put it this way, very, very long, I guess is the best way to say that. So the Gap is one of those companies. They're going to reopen 800 stores later in the month of May, and it includes Old Navy, because that's part of it, Old Navy, Banana Republic, and another brand store. But Gap said that the fitting rooms and public restrooms will be closed. And it made me think about that. Think of being in a store, think of being in a bigger department store and running to the restroom. I'm sure almost all of them will be closed. But what about restaurants? How would they do that? Would they do the same thing? That could be pretty tricky if you think about it, and especially the restrooms. But anyway, the news really is in this particular subject is that the Gap is opening 800 stores. So they're going to quarantine the clothes for 24 hours because you say, how can they do that? Social distancing signs are up in the stores. They're going to focus on that and look at whatever the challenges are, figure them out, and try to get people used to them too. But there are things that could be, I think, misinterpreted and other things that probably are common sense. And the Gap's first stores opening in Texas over the weekend. The amount of stores they have is over 27,000 stores, well over 27,000 stores. But they can't open all of them because of the restricted non-essential retailers thing. So they can't do that because of the fear of spreading the coronavirus. So keep your fingers crossed that it goes well everywhere else that they do this, because it'll be a good test case for what, because they're really putting down the precautions. It'll be a big test case for what works and maybe what doesn't work. One of my favorite things to do pre-pandemic was go out to breakfast or meet someone for breakfast. And that was one of the things that we saw happen a lot with restaurants, where they opened up for breakfast. Like, that became something that they heavily invested in and added. And remember, McDonald's even had their breakfast items available later in the day because people wanted to have breakfast. But before the pandemic hit, and McDonald's is a great example, breakfast made up, ready for this, 25% of McDonald's sales, 40%, that's huge, of their profits. So it made sense for them to do it. But people are home and they're making their own breakfast. I mean, they could go through a drive-thru, but most are not doing that for breakfast. And remember, Wendy's was preparing to roll out its breakfast menu nationally. And they were going to hire more employees. They were going to invest $20 million in that whole project. And they'd only done the testing at a couple of their stores. And it was supposed to launch in early March. So sluggish traffic right now. Imagine if you opened things up, and you would have to close them down probably right away after that. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Questions are being raised about how President Trump's son-in-law arranged for young volunteers from Wall Street to help the government quickly obtain needed medical gear. It's now the subject of a whistleblower complaint. The president describes the team recruited by Jared Kushner as brilliant young people.
Some people would say nerds.
But to California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna, the team was completely unqualified. Coming mainly from the worlds of finance and corporate consulting, the volunteers were tasked with getting leads on masks, gloves, gowns, and ventilators for FEMA to purchase. But close to 70% of the leads were dead ends. Khanna believes the arrangement complicated FEMA's ability to obtain needed supplies.
Why are we not relying on people who are experts?
President Trump says,
I think they did an incredible job.
This is USA Radio News. Wanda Cooper-Jones says her son Ahmaud Arbery had his whole life in front of him.
Ahmaud was still young. He had dreams that wasn't fulfilled.
Arbery was shot and killed as he was reportedly jogging down a residential street on Sunday afternoon in a neighborhood outside Brunswick, Georgia. A white father and son thought the black 25-year-old fit the description of a burglary suspect. Lee Merritt is the attorney for Aubrey's family. He says the cell phone video of his shooting death shows Gregory McMichael, a retired investigator for the Glynn County DA's office, and his son intended to kill Aubrey.
Well, we see clearly in that video that there were three shots, three shotgun blasts, which goes towards the mindset of the shooter, that his intent was to kill Ahmaud Arbery.
Georgia State investigators have taken over the case. Aubrey's family wants charges brought against the father and son. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Show Bob Kapnar. He's written a book called Disaster on the Horizon, High Stakes, High Risks, and the Story Behind the Deepwater Well Blowout. We know it well on this show. Remember, day after day, we were talking about that and even did a remote from Biloxi, Mississippi. But he's a veteran of the energy industry. He's got massive experience in this, massive experience in business, startups, mergers, turnarounds, governance, and operations, you name it. And today he also works as a prestigious chair in Vistage, so that's getting the people in Houston, the CEOs and business owners, as he says, together to become better leaders. What a time for that. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, happy to be with you, Kate.
So you have such vast experience in the energy industry. Where are we now when it comes to oil and what has happened in this pandemic?
We are in the perfect storm right now, Kate. With the demand destruction that's come from the pandemic, as well as the oil price war that's between Saudi and the Russians right now, we have very low prices and demand destruction as much as 20 million barrels a day globally. So it's the perfect storm of challenges for the U.S. industry for sure.
Yeah, so what do you do if you're, and of course there's different lanes in the oil industry, in the oil and gas industry. What about those people that have oil and they have investors and they were just getting to that point, Bob, where, wow, this is going to break, we're going to be able to drill. Are they stuck at this point?
They we're truly at a stalemate right now within the industry. You know, we tend to have these downturns about every 10 years. It seems to be that's kind of the cycle, just because of market forces. Here we have the market forces between international and domestic industry partners, but now we have the pandemic, which has actually destroyed a lot of the demand. So a lot of companies had just pulled out of the 2015 downturn in crude prices, where we got down to about $30 a barrel back then. We were up about $65 a barrel towards the end of the year, and now we're sitting right now at $26, which is the lowest price. It's the lowest price I can think of since about 2001, 2002. So what happens when the industry, when that kind of price volatility occurs, the industry tends to pull back. Everybody lays down their rigs. They hibernate their companies, and they start fighting with their banks. That's their biggest challenge.
Wow, so it's just hunkering down, getting through it so that you can come out okay on the other end at this point, right, and waiting for those prices to rise.
That's been typically the strategy over the years. Here, though, because the demand itself is so far off, typically we burn about 90, 95 million barrels a day globally. Well, that's estimates are that that's off of at least 20 million barrels a day. Some are saying four. Some are saying a little less. That the demand curve typically for crude and for natural gas especially tends to be relatively inelastic. So we never worry too much about the volume that we're going to sell. We always worry about the price. Well, now you have both. Now you've got severe elasticity with demand, and that has driven the price so low now. So we're in unprecedented territory, and I think there's going to be some pretty serious failure within the industry. Even if the Saudis and the Russians come to some agreement on Thursday, they're having a big meeting on Thursday. Even if they cut their production back 10 or 11 million barrels a day combined for OPEC, I don't think it's going to have much effect on crude price because the demand is still far below that.
Right, because, of course, people aren't out on the roads, even if you just took the United States. You look at the cities and people are not driving, so that's one reason, obviously.
Right, right.
What do you tell if somebody comes to you and you're an advisor and you've been through not this, but you've been through other challenges? What do you tell somebody that's in this position?
In our industry, if you don't like what's going on, just wait about 5 minutes because it's going to move. You know, and so what I've learned over the years, and I've been through downturns since I think 1978. I got into the business in 1975, and we've had downturns throughout my entire career, and those who take advantage of the downturn are courageous and invest into the downturn, they tend to come out the other side pretty strong. It's happened every time that I've witnessed a downturn. Here, because of demand destruction, it may be different. I think this also could drive traditional petroleum-based, hydrocarbons-based companies into more alternative fuels. This was a little bit of what BP was doing back in the late 90s and early 2000s when they had their big problems with the Amoco refinery explosion and then later the BP well blowout. They were actually trying to move not significantly but more into alternatives. I think this may drive the domestic industry to start thinking about other sources of BTUs rather than fossil fuels.
Well, so it's what I say that I think in general what people have to do across the board is refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. So the power of the collective, of getting information, of talking to guys like you, of having peers, etc., I think would be really powerful now because isolation could be deadly.
Yeah, and we're especially hamstrung here because we tend to be more of a face-to-face kind of industry. And a lot of my colleagues, they don't even know how to start Zoom or get on any kind of video kind of conferencing. So a lot of my colleagues are having this really hustle to maintain their communications, not only with their employees but with other companies. The interesting thing about the oil and gas industry is we generally don't care about our customers because our customers are Shell and Valero, and they buy everything at an index price. So the real customers in our industry are actually our business partners, people who partner in drilling different projects for production or refining. refineries and those kinds of things. And that's where it's really important now that companies talk amongst themselves, even sometimes even competitors talking amongst themselves, because competitors are also your partners in this particular industry, but also in other industries, to gain knowledge and experience from other CEOs, what they're going through and how they've weathered this, to not only weather the storm that we're in now, but to come out the other side much stronger and ready to grow.
Yeah, and you've seen it because you mentioned it too, and I talked about your book at the top, and you saw what that was like. It was the countdown was on every day. I mean, you and I talked off the air, and how many times did you say, I think you were on media every single day, like on NBC forever, giving updates on what was going on with water well blowout?
Yeah, I played a kind of an interesting role during that whole period of time. I'm a writer, as you know. I wrote this book about the well, but I've also written other things, and I ended up being kind of a voice of the industry, because the one thing our industry does when something goes wrong is we circle the wagons and have this cone of silence where the public doesn't really understand what's going on. And in a highly technical situation like the BP well blowout was, nobody in the industry talks. And so in a vacuum, you get all kinds of nonsense that comes out through the media. So I started talking and just to kind of explain technically what was going on. And all of a sudden, I got picked up by NBC. And I was on nightly news during the summer of 2010, something like 44 nights in a row. And I was on MSNBC and CNBC and a number of other, even Al Jazeera. I had quite a bit of time with Al Jazeera because they want to cover the U.S. industry also, just from a different geographic perspective, obviously. And so I found myself in the position of kind of being the explainer. And that I hopefully I added to the discussion some about what was really going on and helped the NBC viewers especially understand the situation in the Gulf.
Well, and you saw what it took to come out of the other side for BP after that
right.
disaster. And I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, you're a smart man, but if you look at this situation, what do you think? What kind of timetables are we talking about? Patience pays, I like to say, and you're going to have patience.
So I think we're on the front edge of a pretty large consolidation wave. These consolidation waves happen during every downturn because there's always somebody who gets caught with too much leverage. They always get caught with a project that is not doesn't meet the return standards needed to maintain bank financing. The one thing the industry does, which I think is a mistake, and it's always been a mistake, is to use bank debt to increase returns, but to fund their drilling and production projects. The problem is, though, the tenor, the time limit of the bank debt does not match the time of the reserves. So it's a mismatch in equity and debt. And companies are always getting caught out with too much debt just when the downturn comes because they're hard to pinpoint. So you're going to have some failures. I mean, there's discussion of having as many as 70-75% of independent companies here in Houston either fail or have to merge with somebody else. Yeah. The big guys will make it. They always do. But it's the smaller companies that are very specialized are the ones that will be challenged. And a lot of times you'll find CEOs getting together and deciding to merge themselves to keep the banks from taking it away from them. And so you'll begin to see a lot of that. A lot of that's going to happen very quickly, Kate, because the situation is so dire and the price fell so far so fast that my colleagues are moving quickly trying to figure out what to do here before they all fail.
Yeah, so speed is of the essence. There's no doubt about that, right?
True. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Better times ahead, let's hope. Bob Kabnar, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
So happy to help. Thank you.
crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Of course, on our show, we have the Clapaholics, and we're always talking about the first responders and featuring them. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you look at what some other organizations are doing, and I'm just blown away by it. And that includes the Gary Sinise Foundation and, of course, Cooper Tires, too, as well, and how they're giving back to first responders. So Jessica Edgerton joins us. She's the Director of Brand Development for Cooper Tires, and Elizabeth Fields, Chief Operating Officer for the Gary Sinise Foundation. Thank you both so much for popping on the show.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about the relationship, and I guess I'll start with you, Jessica. And this is the second year that you've done this, teaming up with Gary's Foundation, which of course has such a great reputation. Tell us about that, and what happened the first time around, and that development of that relationship and what you're doing.
Yes, of course. And you are right. It is the second year that we have been working with the Gary Sinise Foundation. We started this last year, actually, around the same time for National Public Service Recognition Week. And we at Cooper really wanted to find a way to honor those who we rely on every day, meaning first responders, the people, the brave men and women across the U.S. who are there in times of emergency for us. And we went out and we said, well, we've got these tires, and we wanted to find a way to honor those first responders. And so we found the Gary Sinise Foundation, and we approached them. And it's just been so wonderful to work with Elizabeth and her entire team there and what they do. And so last year we actually donated tires to three fire stations across the U.S. And this year we are expanding the work and the partnership by donating to both fire stations as well as EMT stations across the U.S. We've been able to donate to 5 so far, and we're hoping to be able to provide tires to up to 20 stations across the U.S. this year.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, boy, I'll tell you what, and when you talk about EMTs and fire stations, they can really go through those tires, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that everyday drivers rely on the tires on their car, their truck, their SUV, not just for their mobility, but for their safety. Not a lot of people spend time thinking about their tires, but when you take a minute, these are the only 4 things that connect your vehicle to the road. So if they're critical in your safety and your mobility, think about what it means to a first responder who are jumping in these vehicles to be there quickly in a time of crisis and in time of emergency. And we really rely on them to be there when needed. They need their vehicles to be able to get to that that emergency, and in turn, tires on those vehicles are a critical piece of equipment. They can put them through some tough conditions, and there's a lot of wear and tear that goes into what they do. So these donations are critical for them. Many of the stations that we're working with that the Gary Sinise Foundation has identified for us are volunteer stations, and so they rely on the support of their local communities. Tires are expensive. They're expensive for you and I. They're expensive when you're putting them on these types of vehicles. And so what this does is also free up resources for these first responder stations to be able to use those funds in other places that might be critically needed, whether that's training or whether that's in, you know, medical equipment such as PPE.
Yeah, wow, and that's a great point, especially now with what we're seeing with PPE. Elizabeth, tell us about, it's great to have you with us. Elizabeth Fields is the Chief Operating Officer for the Gary Sinise Foundation. Tell us about the foundation for the 2 people in this vast audience I have that might not know.
That's funny. Well, thanks again for having us here. At the Gary Sinise Foundation, it's our mission to serve our nation's defenders, our veterans, first responders, their families, and those in need. We do it through 4 programmatic pillars. We have 13 initiatives that feed into these programs. As you said, your listeners probably know Gary from his roles. The most famous one, Lieutenant Dan Taylor from the landmark movie Forrest Gump, also CSI New York. Gary founded the Gary Sinise Foundation in 2011. And he's always been a huge supporter of veterans and first responders. You know, not only Gary, but his family, all of us here at the foundation, you know, we can't thank these heroes enough for what they do to protect our communities. And we're just so grateful for them. And, you know, we always encourage your listeners and the American people to get involved and, you know, we're doing a lot of different things here, and it's great to be affiliated and serve the communities that we serve.
Yeah, and you, as you say, you do a lot of different things. So if people do want to get involved with the foundation, how can they do that?
They can visit GarySiniseFoundation.org. You can learn about what we do, but I encourage the veterans and the military, the first responders and their families that are listening, you can learn about how we can support you at GarySiniseFoundation.org as well.
And I have to ask you this question because you have such an interesting background in what you've done in your life, and you've been with the foundation for a couple of years. How rewarding is it for you to be in this role? I mean, you were with NPR, you held other roles and other positions in, you know, the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, that kind of stuff. So what has it been like for you to make that transition and to be so, I think you probably, I'm guessing, you're pretty hands-on with the organization.
Oh, I'm very hands-on with it. I actually have just a fantastic staff that makes my job easy, quite frankly. But if it wasn't for them, I don't know how we could do what we're doing. But they make it easy for me. But I will say this. I grew up, you know, being told to appreciate what you have and to, you know, to respect the individuals that are protecting our freedom and our communities. I've always wanted to work for an organization that did veterans and military and first responder work. It took me a long time to get here, but I am so grateful and thankful every day for being here and being able to, you know, it doesn't even feel like a job. It's rewarding every day, and to see the impact and feel the impact, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and I guess, too, we see now that in dealing with the pandemic, it's a little trickier, too, for a lot of people because the needs have changed for everyone, including veterans, right?
Yes. You know, it's a shame, obviously, that the world is just going through an unprecedented time. And, you know, at the foundation, 365 days a year, we're here providing grants and resources. And, well, not right now with events, but usually events just to inspire and entertain and to build communities. You know, we haven't stopped our work with any of these other communities that we serve. You know, there's times, as you know, that people are losing their jobs and, you know, they need some help paying some rent, some mortgage. There's individuals that, if they can't go to work, they'll lose their jobs, but their children are at home, so we're helping with childcare. So we're trying to step up as much as the rest of the country and do what we can do during this public health crisis.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that and filling us in on that. Jessica, back to you. And again, you just heard Elizabeth, and what a beautiful thing what the Gary Sinise Foundation does for so many veterans. So we mentioned at the top, or I mentioned at the top, that this was the second year that you've been involved. You talked about specifics of who you're helping with the EMTs and the fire stations, and obviously everyday people too with Cooper Tires. And you said it, you don't often think about your tires, but yet when things happen or go wrong, often this is where we run afoul, right?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, tires are so critical to the safety of us every day when we're driving. And, you know, we're so thankful to the Gary Sinise Foundation and also to you for having us on the show and helping us get the word out, not only for the everyday drivers to check and rotate their tires, make sure their tread depth is great, make sure they're checking their air pressure so that they can keep their tires in top condition because of that safety role that they play, but also thankful for you to helping us get the word out about what the Gary Sinise Foundation does and the supporting first responders.
Yeah, so I want to tell all the listeners there's a couple places that you can go, so thanks for that. Go to GarySiniseFoundation.org, and then to learn more about tires for service vehicles and everyday cars like we're talking about, go to CooperTire.com. Jessica Edgerton and Elizabeth Fields, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Pauti Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.